I'm going to share just a few unusual thoughts that God has spoke to my heart about for this service, and I hope that you'll be patient with me. I hope that I don't ramble or go in a direction that's not easy for you to follow and for you to understand. But I want you to turn tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to preach on some good things. Some good things. You do like good things, don't you? You won't find that on the news. You won't find that at the gas pump. You won't find that when you pay your grocery bill. You won't find it at the local hospital. Thank God God's given us some good things. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." This letter is one of three pastoral letters that Paul wrote to Timothy and the other to Titus. Two to Timothy, one to Titus. We call them epistles. And in these letters, he takes great effort to stress some things to Timothy, especially because Timothy has become a son in the ministry to the Apostle Paul. You may not know it, but Paul had Timothy by his side for nearly 15 years. And he's writing this epistle to him as he's nearing the end of his journey to encourage Timothy and to encourage Titus to carry on in the work that is to take place. There's always some key words that I look at anytime I study a book in the Bible. I encourage you to do this. If you'll start looking, you'll find some key words that are always evident. For example, in this particular letter, if you read it over and over again, you'll find the word worthy appears five times. You'll find the word godliness appears nine times. But the word good appears 20 times in 19 verses. So that tells me he's writing to Timothy to tell him about some good things. Now, Paul's at the end of his journey, and he says, "Timothy, it's important that you understand what is good, because the world's idea of good is different from God's idea of what is good." The world will say that if you get prestige, if you gain wealth, if you gain power, if you gain popularity, then that's good. But the Lord says, what I give you is good is far better than wealth and far better than notoriety, far better than fame, because he said, I'm going to tell you about some good things. Now, can I ask you a question? Do you want to live a good life? I want to live a good life. I mean, I want to experience good things in my life. And here's the catch. God says, as the world defines what is good is different from how I define what is good. And God says, the only dilemma that you have is this. You can't have both. If you want the definition of what is good by the eyes of the world, you cannot have the definition of what is good through the eyes of God. So he says you need to understand what's good. Good has a lot of meanings. It can mean pleasing. It can mean it meets your desire. It could mean that it serves a purpose. It could mean attractive. You've heard the word good used in a lot of different scenarios and what it means. Good appears over 700 times in your Bible, the word good. Now, I'm planning on preaching on all 700 of them some other time. But God stresses good. In fact, the first, you know, the first appearance of any word in the Bible is important. It first appears in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. The first thing that God calls good is light. And what God is saying, I want my creation to have good days. You'll find that in chapter 1 of Genesis, 7 times God talks about and uses the word good. On 6 days, he looks at his creation and says it's good. The 7th day he rested. So God says, I'm concerned about you enjoying what's good. By the time you get from Genesis 1, where God talks about good days, then God talks about the blessings of having good children. Because Exodus 2:1 tells us about Moses, and it describes him as being a goodly child. You're blessed if you have good children. You ought to thank God for your children. And God gives us children. It's good when God gives us children. Then Proverbs says, Proverbs 18:2, he goes on to say, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. He's saying that marriage is good. You say, mine's not too good. It's because you're defining it by the world, not by God. You can have a good marriage if you do what the book says. Well, that's moving on quickly. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants your life to be filled with enjoyment and fun. But I'll say this, what the world calls fun and what I call fun is two different things. I mean, I've had fun today. This has been a good day. In fact, I'm looking for tomorrow to be a good day. God gives us every day, and every day we have that the Lord gives to us, it is a good day. But God says there's some things, good things, God gives us to have a good life. You want to hear what some of them are? Three of you can listen. First of all, you'll find it. Let's go over chapter 1 and verse 5. Chapter 1, same book, same letter. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. You see, a clear conscience is a good thing. A conscience is an important thing. It's funny, your conscience is your best friend and your worst friend all at the same time. But thank God we've got one. Now your conscience can be weak, your conscience can be seared, your conscience can be pure, your conscience can be purged. All of that's in the Word of God. The type of conscience that we have will determine if we have a good life. I'm so glad I'm going to get home tonight and I'm going to lay my head on my pillow and say, Lord, it feels so good to go to sleep because I've done my best not to wrong others. I've done my best not to try to discredit your name in any way. I've done my best not to abuse the office that you've given to me for gain. I've done my best to live for you. And by the way, when we start to go the wrong way, that same conscience will say, just a minute, you need to back up about that and you need to think about that for a minute. But it's good to have a good conscience and lay down at night and know that you've served the Lord and to know that if the Lord was to call right now, you're ready to meet him. There's nothing like a good conscience. It's good to know if I die in my sleep, it's all under the blood and I'm ready to meet the Lord. It's good to know that I don't have to come down to the end of life and try to track a bunch of people down and make things right with people. You don't think that way now. You get close to death, you'll think that way. You get longer in life, you'll think that way. You'll start saying, I don't want to end the end of my journey not having a good conscience and knowing that I've treated all people well and I've been honest before all people and I paid my bills and I paid the IRS. I didn't cheat them. That's a good feeling. Not many amens. That tells me something. A good conscience. You don't have to spend your time making your wrongs right. Oh, we don't hear much about that anymore, do we? It's called restitution. It's good to know that you've got things taken care of. If God touches your conscience about anything, don't let it be harmful to you. Accept it as a good thing and say, thank you, Lord. I've got a conscience that you can still deal with my heart about certain things. And when I step out of line, you show me that's a good thing. Not only a good conscience, but look in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I exhort, therefore, that the first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Those are four types of prayer that he mentions here, really. Each, even though he says prayers, there's different types of prayers. Supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So he's also saying that you not only have a good conscience if you want a good life, you need to have good communication with God. He talks about four types of prayer. Can I tell you, do you know what separates Christianity among other things? We know the basic things why we're separated. We're the only one that has a basis of claiming that our Savior not only died, but he rose again. That's a good thing. And that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He intercedes for us. But do we intercede for others? There's times that we need to intercede for others in our life. And that's what he's saying here. There's times of intercession. There's times of just getting on your knees or bowing your head and saying, Lord, I just want to thank you and give you thanks for what you have done. There are times as well that it's just prayers. I know that some people will say it's just words. And if you're just speaking words, then it doesn't really matter. You're just going through routine and God doesn't hear it. I don't believe that. You may say the same prayer every time you bow your head when you bless your, ask God to bless your food, but still keep bowing your head and saying the same word. Somebody is watching and somebody will take note of that. And it's a good thing to be able to communicate. But do you know how we differ than other religions from the world? Almost all religions have some type, some form of prayer. They all pray to their leader. They all pray to a mediator. But do you know what's different about us? We have a God that talks back. Their God can't speak to them, but we have a God when we talk to him, thank God he'll whisper in our ear and tell us exactly how much that he loves us and that he's heard our cry and he's answered our prayer. He talks back to us. He not only listens, but he speaks. So our prayer is not only asking, it's also hearing. It's not only speaking, but it's listening. Good communication. But then also, I want you to look at chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. So we have a good conscience. I think that leads to a good life, don't you? I think if we have good communication, that leads to a good life. But then I think if we have a good contribution to make. He said if he desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now listen, I know that he's talking about an overseer here. Some denominations interpret it as a pastor. I don't have time to get into all of that, but one day we'll do a biblical study on that. I have more things to tell you, but you cannot bear them right now. I don't believe that's what he's referring to at all. Just this isn't limited to just myself or to Brian or to preachers. Don't limit it to that. You miss the whole meaning of it. He's saying that it's a good work. Everybody has some work that they can contribute to God's work. Now, we don't do that to be saved. We do that because we are saved. But when we are saved, we want to do something for God. It doesn't make us a better Christian. It doesn't make us more effective in any way, but it helps us to have a good life. It's a good feeling when you're doing something good for the Lord. And I say the greatest days in your life are those days that you look on them, and not that you look at it with a blur, but you'll be able to say, you know, I was able to do something good for the Lord today. I was able to touch somebody's life in a good way for the glory of God today. And God says when you contribute your little bit in return, He'll give you good things and a good life. Brother Ed Ballou was here for a number of revivals. How many of y'all got to hear Dr. Ballou preach when he was here years ago? I'm telling you, if you didn't get to hear Ed Ballou, you know, I know what God called him home to glory. Churches couldn't take him today. They couldn't. They couldn't take him today. I'm telling you. He was a preacher. God's man. He held a revival for us in the spring of 1 year. He closed out the meeting on Friday night, went back to Cleveland, Tennessee. On Saturday morning, we knocked both walls out of the church. Y'all remember that? We knocked both walls out of the church, moved in the fellowship hall all in one day, and started working on the building to increase the size of the building. He set our soul on fire. I saw people shout in that meeting that I've never seen them shout since. I'm telling you, it was a good meeting. And for those of you that remember some of the times that he was here, one of the times he talked about how we needed to have a servant's heart, and he never did consider himself a pastor, but I think Ed Ballou had to be a great pastor because he was a wonderful evangelist, and I believe he was a great pastor. And he talked about pastoring a church, and he had a lady that came forward one service and got to the altar and was weeping so loud that they couldn't control her. And he knew that was out of character for this woman. And finally they motioned for Brother Ed to come down, and he went down to where she was at, and she was weeping so loudly, and he said, "Sis, I can't help you if you can't tell me what's wrong." And she said, "Well, I tell you what's wrong." She said, I dropped something, and I had to reach down to get it from under the pew. And when I reached down to get it from under the pew, she said, I saw somebody had stuck gum under the pew. And she said, "Brother Ballou, that's God's pew." And she said, "I'm not being critical." She said, "But God touched my heart, because at first I said, who would do such a thing?" And God said, "I'm not looking for somebody to find the ones that do it. I'm looking for somebody to clean it off." And she said, "Would it be okay if I come with a putty knife and start cleaning off the gum from under the seats and make sure that God's house is clean from top to bottom?" And Brother Ballou said, "I think that would be wonderful." He said that woman's life turned and she shouted and praised God. He said to this day, when he was here, said to this day, if I see her, she meets me shouting. Why? Because what seemed so little to everybody else, it was important enough to God to touch her heart and say, "If you do your little bit, I'll bless you for it." Junior Hill, I've been in several meetings with Brother Junior. Junior Hill is a prince of preachers. If you ever get a chance to hear any of the sermons that he preached, I'm telling you, it'll change his life. One of the most compassionate preachers that I've ever heard in all of my ministry. And the first time I heard Junior Hill preach in person, he talked about going to a little rural country church when he just started out in evangelism. And he said, "I'd been going so hard and I was so tired and I felt like nobody wanted to hear and that nobody cared." And he said, "I went to this church. They were so far out. They had no hotel rooms." Said the pastor said, "You're in on Sunday morning, Sunday night. If it would be okay, you can just stay in the parsonage with us." And Brother Hill said, "That would be wonderful." Said, "We had a nice meal that his wife had prepared. She was so kind and served the meal." Said after the meal, she said, "Now, Brother Hill," said, "we've got a spare bedroom back there if you want." She said, "You just take your shoes off." And she said, "You just take them off right there in the living room." Said, "You go back there, make yourself at home and lay down and rest." He thought, "I'm just going to take maybe a little bit of a nap this afternoon." And he said, "When I got up," He said, the first thing I realized, I left my shoes in the other room. And said, when I got up and opened the door, right in front of me were my shoes. While I was sleeping, said, that pastor's wife shined my shoes. And he said, I thought, thank God for somebody that sees their job as being important. Let me tell you, there's no little jobs in this church. For those of you that were out here working yesterday, God saw it, and that was a good day in your life. For everything that you've done, whether great or small, from washing a window to picking up a piece of garbage to your faithful attendance to being here time and time again, for those of you that take the time to pray for your pastor and pray that God anoints our services, there's nothing too small for God to see and God to bless. A good work. Can I give you one more before I quit? The text. Verse 13, chapter 6. A good confession. A good confession. Why did he have a good confession? Because he had a good profession. A good profession leads to a good confession. Some people say, I don't like to hear the word professions of faith. What's in the book? They made a good profession. What's that mean? They have professed Christ and his power. And they have confessed that he is their Savior. They have confessed. This isn't a book about negative. This is a book about good things. They have confessed his power to save. A good confession. He said Jesus came before Pilate. Now think about it. They lied about Jesus. They falsely accused Jesus. They physically tortured Jesus. Now this is before Calvary. This is leading up to Pilate. And Pilate watched as they lied, as they manipulated, as they tried to destroy Christ, as they tried to deny their own pride and somehow try to bring him down to a level way beneath what was ever thought of him. And you know what Pilate said? I find no fault in him. Why? He had a good confession. For others to look at you and say, you're going through things and you're battling this and you're battling that. And then they look at it and say, here they are, still with a good profession and a good confession. How can you do that? It's because we know this world's not our home. And there may be people that'll let you go through all sorts of things. You may have friends today that won't stick their tongue out at you tomorrow, but still you can have a good confession. You may lose a lot of things in life. You may lose your job. You may lose your health. You may lose your home. You may lose your financial security. But you can still have a good confession. The truth of the matter is, it's not how we look at ourselves, it's how we look at God. And I've come to tell you, God is so good. God is so good. He has been so good to me. I know that he's been good to this church, and he's been good to you. And we ought to have a good confession. Sunday school teacher asked her class one day, she handed him a blank piece of paper, handed him a pencil to write. She said, here's the assignment. We've only got so much time. I want you to take that blank piece of paper, and on the front side, I want you to write out every good thing that God has done for you. And all the good things about God. When you finish that page, turn it over. And then I want you to write down all the bad things that the devil has done to you. And finish out the page writing about the bad things about the devil. Time ran out. She collected all the papers. She started going through them with only a couple, 3 minutes to go. And she singled out one student. She said, sweetheart said, I'm not criticizing you, but I don't think you understood what I asked you to do. Did you hear me say on the front page, write down all the good things that God's done for you and all the good things that you can think of about God, and then turn it over and on the other page, write all the bad things that the devil's done to you and all the bad things about the devil? Did you not understand that? Yes, teacher, I'm so sorry. Said, but I got so busy writing down the good things of God that I couldn't stop. And when I finished writing and time was out, I didn't have no time for the devil. I want to tell you, when you start talking good things, the devil, you don't have no time for him. We don't have no time for all of the talk that's going on. We give him too much glory and too much credit. He's a defeated enemy and a defeated foe. I'm here to tell you, God has been good to this preacher. He's been so good to me. He saved my soul. He's been good to me. He called me to preach. He's been good to me. He brought me to this church. He's been good to me to meet some of the finest Christian people in all the world. He's been good to me to meet every need in my life and so much more. He's been good to me to heal my body. He's been good to me to touch my wife. He's been good to me to let me be in his house one more time. I'm telling you, God has been good. I didn't mean to preach this long, but it feels good. Getting ready to come to church? I'm getting ready and I put on some cologne. I like to smell good. Usually I wear eternity because that's how long I'm going to live. But I put on a different cologne. Candy said, I walked by her, she said, did you put on cologne? I said, yes. She said, I can smell. She hasn't smelled since the end of July. Boy, I tell you, it was a good day. We just couldn't stop. I mean, it was a good day. We marched around here, Candy, soon as we left. She said, them people think something was wrong with me because we headed out. I said, Brian told them I was going to preach. If they didn't remember it, that's their fault. I said, you're doing good. Got through the service today. Got home. She had dinner ready for me. God is good. Praise God. Sat down, ate a good dinner. She said, I feel like walking. We drove downtown, got out, walked several of the streets, walked around. I'm telling you, God is good. Right back here tonight, haven't we had good singing today? Haven't you enjoyed the good presence of God? I've got good texts from people saying, preacher, I feel encouraged in my heart. I feel like I'm going to make it. I'm telling you, God is good. He is so good. You say, but wait, preacher, my loved one's in intensive care. That's why God's good. He can go in and don't even have to wear a mask. He can get there, give them exactly what they need. God is so good. My invitation is different tonight. That giving thanks rings out in my heart. They'll come, they'll sing. And instead of coming to the altar, and there's nothing wrong with this, if you're not right with God, you ought to come. Get the bad stuff taken care of. But why don't you just come and find your place to say, Lord, I just thought I'd stop and give you some thanks tonight for what you have done.